September 8th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will come from the book of Isaiah as we begin the reading of that book, chapter 1, verse 1, and we'll go through chapter 2, verse 22. Now, Isaiah had access to four different kings, but his great concern was the spiritual state of the nation and not the political success of the leaders. There is a place for diplomacy and political action, where God established human government. But the leader's faith must be in God's truth and not in man's schemes. Outwardly, the nation seemed prosperous and even religious. But God saw a different picture. His people were rebellious children, lower than animals. They were sick with sin, like lepers. And their garden city had become another Sodom and Gomorrah. Their popular religious meetings were futile and a grief to the Lord. In fact, their religious activities defiled the people instead of making them clean. The wife of Jehovah was now a harlot. Their treasures were now cheap, and their garden was destined to be destroyed by fire. Well, bottom line, sin breaks God's heart, cheapens a nation or an individual, and invites the judgment of God. God graciously offers His forgiveness if we will repent. And as we read on in chapter 2 of Isaiah, we'll read about the house of the Lord. Now, in the previous chapter, Isaiah looked within the heart of the nation. Now he looks ahead to the future glorious kingdom. God promises people, instead of being a place for corrupt worship, the temple will be a center of truth and blessing for Jews and Gentiles. Instead of international conflict, there will be peace. When world conditions distress you, my friend, remember that things will not always be like this. We'll read about the light of the Lord. Judah was borrowing new religious ideas from the Gentile nations and not walking in God's truth. Their faith was in material progress and not in the Lord. How they needed to get back to the light of God's Word. You know, in our own day, astrology and Eastern religions, New Age, they have replaced the Bible, and making money is more important than serving the Lord. And then we'll read about the day of the Lord. This is a time of judgment from the Lord that can apply locally, as with Judah, or worldwide, as in the end times. Man's pride will be brought low, and all that man lives for will be destroyed. God patiently waits as people rebel against the truth. But in the end, sin will be judged, and the Lord will be exalted. God will protect His believing remnant when that day of judgment comes. And now, let's begin our reading today in the Old Testament. September 8th, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, through Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22. These visions concerning Judah and Jerusalem came to Isaiah, son of Amoz, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, all kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, this is what the Lord says. The children I raised and cared for have turned against me. Even the animals, the donkey and the ox, know their owner and appreciate his care, but not my people Israel. No matter what I do for them, they still do not understand. Oh, what a sinful nation they are! They are loaded down with a burden of guilt. They are evil and corrupt children who have turned away from the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel, cutting themselves off from His help. Why do you continue to invite punishment? Must you rebel forever? Your head is injured, and your heart is sick. You are sick from head to foot, covered with bruises, welts, and infected wounds, without any ointments or bandages. Your country lies in ruins, and your cities are burned. As you watch, foreigners plunder your fields and destroy everything they see. Jerusalem stands abandoned, like a watchman's shelter in a vineyard or field after the harvest is over. It is as helpless as a city under siege. If the Lord Almighty had not spared a few of us, we would have been wiped out as completely as Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen to the Lord, you leaders of Israel. Listen to the law of our God, people of Israel. You act just like the rulers and people of Sodom and Gomorrah. I am sick of your sacrifices, says the Lord. Don't bring me any more burnt offerings. I don't want the fat from your rams or other animals. I don't want to see the blood from your offerings of bulls and rams and goats. Why do you keep parading through my courts with your worthless sacrifices? The incense you bring me is a stench in my nostrils. Your celebrations of the new moon and the Sabbath day, and your special days for fasting, even your most pious meetings, are all sinful and false. I want nothing more to do with them. I hate all your festivals and sacrifices. I cannot stand the sight of them. From now on, when you lift up your hands in prayer, I will refuse to look. Even though you offer many prayers, I will not listen. For your hands are covered with the blood of your innocent victims. Wash yourselves and be clean. Let me no longer see your evil deeds. Give up your wicked ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Fight for the rights of widows. Come now, let us argue this out, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can remove it. I can make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you as white as wool. If you will only obey me and let me help you, then you will have plenty to eat. But if you keep turning away and refusing to listen, you will be destroyed by your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken. See how Jerusalem, once so faithful, has become a prostitute. Once the home of justice and righteousness, she is now filled with murderers. Once like pure silver, you have become like worthless slag. Once so pure, you are now watered-down wine. Your leaders are rebels, the companions of thieves. All of them take bribes and refuse to defend the orphans and the widows. Therefore the Lord Almighty, the Mighty One of Israel says, I will pour out my fury on you, my enemies. I will turn against you. I will melt you down and skim off your slag. I will remove all your impurities. Afterward, I will give you good judges and wise counselors, like the ones you used to have. Then Jerusalem will again be called the home of justice and the faithful city. Because the Lord is just and righteous, the repentant people of Jerusalem will be redeemed, but all sinners will be completely destroyed, for they refuse to come to the Lord. Shame will cover you when you think of the times you offered sacrifices to idols in your groves of sacred oaks. You will blush when you think of all the sins you committed in your sacred gardens. You will wither away like an oak or garden without water. The strongest among you will disappear like burning straw. Your evil deeds are the spark that will set the straw on fire, and no one will be able to put it out. This is another vision that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem will become the most important place on earth. People from all over the world will go there to worship. Many nations will come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Israel. There he will teach us his ways, so that we may obey him. For in those days, the Lord's teaching and his word will go out from Jerusalem. The Lord will settle international disputes. All the nations will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. All wars will stop, and military training will come to an end. Come, people of Israel, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The Lord has rejected the people of Israel because they have made alliances with foreigners from the east, who practice magic and divination, just like the Philistines. Israel has vast treasures of silver and gold, and many horses and chariots. The land is filled with idols. The people bow down and worship these things they have made. So now everyone will be humbled and brought low. The Lord cannot simply ignore their sins. Crawl into caves in the rocks. Hide from the terror of the Lord and the glory of His majesty. The day is coming when your pride will be brought low, and the Lord alone will be exalted. In that day the Lord Almighty will punish the proud, bringing them down to the dust. He will cut down the tall cedars of Lebanon and the mighty oaks of Bashan. He will level the high mountains and hills. He will break down every high tower and wall. He will destroy the great trading ships and all the small boats in the harbor. The arrogance of all people will be brought low. Their pride will lie in the dust. The Lord alone will be exalted. Idols will be utterly abolished and destroyed. When the Lord rises to shake the earth, His enemies will crawl with fear into holes in the ground. They will hide in caves in the rocks from the terror of the Lord and the glory of His majesty. They will abandon their gold and silver idols to the moles and bats. They will crawl into caverns and hide among the jagged rocks at the tops of cliffs. In this way, they will try to escape the terror of the Lord and the glory of His majesty as He rises to shake the earth. Stop putting your trust in mere humans. They are as frail as breath. How can they be of help to anyone? September 8th. As we look into the New Testament today, our reading will come from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. We'll see that Satan seeks to blind minds to God's light, fortify minds against God's truth, and seduce minds from God's love. Paul gives some practical counsel for victory in spiritual warfare. Number one, be Christ-like. Boldness must be balanced with meekness, for God's power is experienced in humility. Satan is our enemy, not people held by his power. Use spiritual weapons. See, Paul may have had in mind Joshua's victory at Jericho, when the walls came tumbling down because of Israel's faith. Be sure you're wearing your whole armor. Keep your eyes on the Lord. That the Corinthians accused Paul of inconsistency gave Satan opportunity to work in their lives. And accept the sphere of service God gives you. Every Christian soldier has a place to fill. If we're all following his orders, the church will win the battle. And remember to seek God's glory alone. How can we boast in victories that God alone can give? Well, Paul quoted Jeremiah 9:24 to remind us where the glory belongs. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the New Testament. September 8th, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Now I, Paul, plead with you. I plead with the gentleness and kindness that Christ Himself would use. Even though some of you say, I am bold in my letters, but timid in person, I hope it won't be necessary. But when I come, I may have to be very bold with those who think we act from purely human motives. We are human, but we don't wage war with human plans and methods. We use God's mighty weapons, not merely worldly weapons, to knock down the devil's strongholds. With these weapons, we break down every proud argument that keeps people from knowing God. With these weapons, we conquer their rebellious ideas, and we teach them to obey Christ. And we will punish those who remained disobedient after the rest of you became loyal and obedient. The trouble with you is that you make your decisions on the basis of appearance. You must recognize that we belong to Christ just as much as those who proudly declare that they belong to Christ. I may seem to be boasting too much about the authority given to us by the Lord, but this authority is to build you up, not to tear you down. And I will not be put to shame by having my work among you destroyed. Now this is not just an attempt to frighten you by my letters. For some say, don't worry about Paul. His letters are demanding and forceful. But in person he is weak, and his speeches are really bad. The ones who say this must realize that we will be just as demanding and forceful in person as we are in our letters. Oh, don't worry. I wouldn't dare say that I am as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are. But they are only comparing themselves with each other and measuring themselves by themselves. What foolishness! But we will not boast of authority we do not have. Our goal is to stay within the boundaries of God's plan for us, and this plan includes our working there with you. We are not going too far when we claim authority over you, for we were the first to travel all the way to you with the good news of Christ. Nor do we claim credit for the work someone else has done. Instead, we hope that your faith will grow and that our work among you will be greatly enlarged. Then we will be able to go and preach the good news in other places that are far beyond you, where no one else is working. Then there will be no question about being in someone else's territory. As the scriptures say, the person who wishes to boast should boast only of what the Lord has done. When people boast about themselves, it doesn't count for much. But when the Lord commends someone, that's different. Psalm 52, verses 1 through 9. Doeg was an evil man who curried favor with King Saul by spying on David. And we'll read that when David learned what Doeg had done, he turned to God for help. For God is the only one who can justly deal with our enemies. You know, the tongue can be a force for good or for evil. Doeg's tongue was boastful, deceitful, and destructive, like a sharp razor. David focused on the goodness of God, not the badness of men, because he knew that God's justice would ultimately prevail. Doeg looked like a strong, luxuriant tree, but he would be rooted up, while David would be fresh and fruitful. You see, God protected David's name because David trusted God's name. More people call their sons David than Doeg, have you noticed? Psalm 52, verses 1 through 9. For the choir director, a psalm of David regarding the time Doeg the Edomite told Saul that Ahimelech had given refuge to David. You call yourself a hero, do you? Why boast about this crime of yours, you who have disgraced God's people? All day long you plot destruction. Your tongue cuts like a sharp razor. You're an expert at telling lies. You love evil more than good and lies more than truth. You love to say things that harm others, you liar. But God will strike you down once and for all. He will pull you from your home and drag you from the land of the living. The righteous will see it and be amazed. They will laugh and say, look what happens to mighty warriors who do not trust in God. They trust their wealth instead and grow more and more bold in their wickedness. But I am like an olive tree, thriving in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. I will praise you forever, O God, for what you have done. I will wait for your mercies in the presence of your people. Proverbs 22, verses 26 and 27. Do not co-sign another person's note or put up a guarantee for someone else's loan. If you can't pay it, even your bed will be snatched from under you.